You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way.
Hello, friends. Happy Friday. Oh my goodness, today's ep. I think it's going to be a mixed bag. I'm sure there'll be some takeaways. But I am sitting in day 8 of the most interesting experience that I've had in a long time. And I'm just going to dive straight in. So in the last week, I have had mass public, mainstream to a degree, recognition. Teetering on fame, I'm going to say, just in terms of, for those of you who are regular podcast listeners, you'll know that a few episodes back, I spoke into the recognition and fame piece that I've been working on energetically in kinesiology sessions. You don't need the backstory of it, but I've noticed that I've been holding myself back in the pursuit of my big dreams and desires, which is very much part of this nodal shift that I spoke to on Tuesday's ep. And so I've been working behind the scenes on, it hasn't just been recently, it has been over the last probably 6 or 7 years in its entirety, but I've been working on these threads of being seen, being recognized, my judgments around fame, around being a public figure, and all of my fear that has come with that, which for the most part is a fear of judgment. What are people going to say about me? Fear of trolling, vitriol, misdirected anger. I've worked on all of it and I've been working on all of it and I still am. And then over the last week, I got initiated in really hardcore ways. So last Monday, my interview with Boob to Food, the podcast, came out. And for those of you unfamiliar with the platform, Boob to Food are phenomenal for parents. New parents, old parents, it's a brilliant platform for navigating, transitioning and weaning your child into solids and giving them fully nutritionally dense meals. And I've been a fan of Boob to Food since my little girl was young. I have their cookbook, Milk to Meals, like all about it. And my beautiful, beautiful friend, Kate, now works with Luca, who runs Boob to Food. And they invited me onto their podcast, which is one of the leading podcasts in parenthood in the country, to talk about my breastfeeding experience and the challenges I faced last year. And those of you who've been listening for a long time know that it was a deeply traumatic time. And I don't have to go into the specifics because if you're interested, it's all there on the Boob to Food podcast. So we sat and did that interview a few months ago, and I didn't realize until the night before that it was coming out last Monday. And I was very excited about it because I'm like, finally, people are going to hear me. Because that was a big piece that I really had to navigate last year, was when I was really in it, I felt like no one was really listening to me. I felt like, you know, those dreams you have where you try to scream, but nothing comes out. That's how I felt for the majority of last year. And I knew that this podcast coming out would be almost like a missing healing link for me to move through. And on Monday, it came out, and the amount of beautiful acknowledgement, recognition, messages, praise, accolades, all of it came flooding in. It was really beautiful and overwhelming, to be honest, the amount that I received. Lots of new people in my community, lots of beautiful DMs that I'm still yet to get back to. If you've messaged me, thank you. Truly, I've read every single one and just, I was moved to tears last Monday in a beautiful way. It was so healing for me. It was just so beautiful to feel that support come in from across the country. And so that was my experience on Monday. A couple of days later, I hopped on my plane. I own one, guys. No, it was a Jetstar flight. I hopped on a flight on Thursday morning and I went down to Sydney for less than 24 hours to go to the Beauty and the Beast premiere with my sister, what I spoke about to last Friday. And I had my dress that I bought from Spell, my brand new pink dress. I had no shoes, no handbag, It's actually a really ironic thing. While I, yes, work in fashion by way of being a model, it's definitely not high fashion. I'm more swimwear and lingerie and intimates than anything else. But also, I'm just not fashion savvy in terms of being a fashionable fashionista. Fashion, fashion, fashion. It's just never been a big thing for me. I know what I like and I know what I feel good in, and that's about it. Whereas for my sister, it's her thing, you know? So I was like, okay, great. My sister's going to help me shopping. We're going to go find some shoes and a bag, and then we're going to hit the red carpet. How exciting, how fun. And I have to say, it was an incredible night. Guys, I am a musical theatre, like, I'm obsessed. I've seen many, 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 many countless live shows, and I'm going to put Beauty and the Beast in the top three alongside Moulin Rouge, and I don't know what else I'd put up there. But anyway, Beauty and the Beast, you must all see it. Like, it was the most spectacular performance, not just because of the performers themselves, but they were all elite and incredible, but the stage production, the costume, the set, the lighting, the special effects. I've never been to a musical before where there were standing ovations mid-performance, like not intermission or end of the performance, although they did get those as well, but like mid-act standing ovations. Like, please, if you can, get to Beauty and the Beast. It was just so good. It was so good. So I clearly had the time of my life. Clearly. Had the best time ever. Took some pics, was feeling myself, did my own makeup, really proud of that. My sister did my hair for me. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow, by the way, because it's been over a year. This is what I mean. I'm slack with things like this. It's really interesting because of my Libra moon. I love to dress up. I love to dress up. I love to go out feeling my best. But the kind of, it, I guess it's kind of speaks to my Chiron in Cancer. Like, the first things to go are my self-care practices. So I haven't had my nails done in like forever. And this actually matters. Trust me. I don't know when the last time I had my toes done. I walk barefoot a lot. This is what I mean. I didn't own a pair of shoes. So I bought giant pink platforms because I'm like, when am I ever going to wear these? Like, now is when. Oh, rookie mistake. You know, I haven't had my hair cut in over a year, those sorts of things. Can't wait to do that, by the way, because your hair does hold energy. So, you know, like that. Anyway, flew back home. Friday was like, this week has been amazing. The boob to food potty, Beauty and the Beast. Went and had a nap with my little girl. Woke up to a report from my publishers. Every 6 months, at least with my publishers, you get a report on how your book's going. And so I haven't seen a report yet because it came out in December. So this report was my first. Like, people ask me how the book's going. I'm like, I have no idea. All I know is they've had to do a reprint, which is a good sign, but I didn't even know if I'd made my advance back. And just some technicalities with books, guys, because I think, I don't know, it's just not spoken about, but I'm happy to talk to it. So books, you don't really write to make money. you write because you love to write. Yeah, and you want people to read your words. What happens in most publishing arenas is you get something known as an advance, which is a certain amount of money they pay you up front. But then when your book comes out, you actually have to make that advance back before you make money on your book. So say the advance, and these are, I'm pulling figures out of my ass, guys, just to give an example. These aren't my figures or anyone's really. Just say they gave you an advance of $3,000 to write your book, right? Then you'd have to make that $3,000 of sales back before you'd make anything additional in royalties. But you don't make the whole sum of what your book costs back. You make a percentage. So I make 8% of every book that's sold. So say my book costs in Kmart, I think it's $19, right? I make 8% of that. 10% is $1.90. So 8% is less than $1.90 per book sale. So you have to sell a certain amount of books to make your advance back before you even make your royalties. Does this make sense? I just think it's important to illuminate that. So when people say, oh my God, you've got books on, you're like killing it. It's like, I am in a lot of ways. Yes, it's a dream come true. And I will write books forever and a day because I love to do it. But I'm doing it because I love to do it. I'm not doing it because it's making me shitloads, although I hope one day they will. That said, I got my report on Friday that my book has sold 5,768 copies in 6 months. I also have made my advance back. So any sales now, I make the 8%. Every 6 months, I get royalties. And I just want to take a moment for that and thank anyone listening who has helped in that regard, because it's a really big deal that I haven't fully anchored into. It's averaging over 200 copies a week in selling, which is, I mean, I know that most publishers are happy if you make the advance back. So to be making anything on top of that, especially within 6 months, it's incredible. And I'm so grateful. So thank you, firstly, to any of you who've bought the book, who've bought it as a gift for anyone, who has spoken about it, who's left a rating or a review. Like, it really matters. It really matters. For me, it's not like, oh, because I want it to make me more money. I actually would love to write another book. That's what I'm looking at. It's like, oh, the more that this book performs well, the more inclined I am to get another deal. And if I could write books forever, I'd be a very happy gal. So anyway, that was last week by Friday. Monday, the Boob to Food podcast episode, the biggest parenting podcast in the country. Deep vulnerability on that episode, by the way, if you haven't listened to it yet. It's very intense. My emotional state is rattled because it was a very traumatic time. Thursday, flying in and out of Sydney, going to a red carpet event in Sydney, musical theatre, got dressed up to the nines in my zone, literally in my zone. I was just in my element. Friday, got the report of my book. So I was like, whoa. I actually felt quite a lot of overwhelm because it was a really big week of expansion. And then, and then Aries North Node went, let's see how she handles this. So Boob to Food did a second post about our podcast episode on the Saturday. And it was about all of the different formula options if you have to formula feed your child, which we had to do, all of the various options you have, because there's actually no resource like this that exists. And I'm so glad they did this post. And I'm so standing behind it, because when it came to feeding my little girl formula, she was actually violently ill from the one that we got her, because we just got it off a shelf because we didn't know anything about what would actually be most beneficial to her. We didn't know there were organic options. We didn't know there were, you know, specialty formulas that you could order online. We knew nothing. So their post was around awareness of the various options that parents do have should they get to the point of needing to make a really tough decision. And while for the most part, that post gained beautiful traction, lots of support and love, there were a handful of people that were awful. And in the past, if I had been on the receiving end in some way, shape or form of the comments that came through on that post in previous years, especially if it came through last year when I was in the darkest space of my life because of feeding my daughter, it would have done so much harm and damage. And I was reading these ill-informed, awful comments and getting really angry. And I was feeling this Aries North Node come in. I was feeling the fire and I was going, I wasn't upset. I was furious. I was furious at the injustice. Hello, Libra South Node. It was injustice. It was unfair. They weren't listening. It was also verging on Cancer season energy and being victim. I caught myself in that. And I sat with it all. I sat with what I was feeling in my body and I went, you know what? I actually do have to stand up for myself here. Because in me standing up for myself, I'm standing up for any other woman who had to walk a fucked up path, because these women are the issue. They are shaming and wronging without any desire to understand what we've actually navigated. Now, guys, if you've been part of my community for many years, you know that I am not one to ruffle feathers or rock boats. My Libra moon has navigated a lot of my life where it's like, I don't want conflict. I don't want to keep the peace. I just want to keep the peace. I'm not going to share my opinion because I'm afraid. Everything has changed in the last week. So I really well articulated, might I add, like it was a very articulate response, but I replied to one of the comments that was really ill-informed. And I asked her if she'd actually listened to the podcast And I encouraged her to do so because her comment was damaging. Now, whether she listens to it or not, she said she would. I doubt she will. But I was proud of the way I handled it because I said to her, look, I hear what you're saying, but also you need to listen. You actually need to listen. Now, the anger didn't go anywhere. I was still angry and I was like, okay. And I was catching myself in this hole on Saturday evening, reading these comments coming through, reading all the women defending me and Boob to Food and their own experiences. And I was getting really caught up in the minutiae and wanting to go in and comment on every single one. Now, that's where I felt my life force completely leak out of my body because I was just getting more and more worked up. I was dissociating from my little girl and my husband. We were at home. It was a nice evening. And I was in the couch in the corner for hours, scrolling through these comments and getting really angry. And so that's when, if you're connected with me on Instagram, I put that statement up, which was basically getting my point across without me having to go into every single comment and reply. I'm like, right, if anyone reads this, they can see my perspective. Now, the following morning, Sunday morning, I woke up maybe at 3 or 4 in the morning and went straight onto that feed and continued to read the comments. And this is just me sharing my process because I'm not immune to these experiences at all. But what happened was I was lying in bed with my husband and my little girl on my phone, reading these comments, getting angry again. And just a voice in my head said, Holly, put the phone down and feel what's happening in your body. I put the phone down and I felt my heart racing. I felt my breathing incredibly shallow. I felt tingling in my limbs, which was, I was in fight response. I wasn't in flight. I was in fight. And I think this is something that is going to come up over the next 12 to 18 months is this fight response activated in our body that becomes physical. It becomes a visceral experience. And it's up to us to catch us in that and use it constructively and move it constructively. So I could have done one or two things in that moment. I mean, I could have put the phone down and gone back to sleep. It wasn't going to happen. I was in fight response. So I could have gone into the feed and fought back and been really angry at everyone in that post saying, you're not listening, listen to me, which is exactly the piece that I'm moving through right now. Instead, I got up early. The sun hadn't risen yet. I put my music on. I made myself a cacao, because it's a medicine of the heart. And I sat in gratitude. I intentionally sat in a long gratitude ceremony with my cacao. And I thanked the medicine. I thanked my heart. And I prayed for every single person in that thread, including the misinformed. I was going to use a swear word, including those that were misinformed. I prayed for every single one. I sent them all love. I sent myself love and I invited my inner child forward because that's actually who was feeling like she wasn't being heard. And it did. I connected the dots. I'm like, right, what is this piece, Holly? What are you wanting? What are you wanting? And I really sat with my journal. Sun still hadn't come up. I'm like, what am I seeking here? What is this anger telling me? And I could pinpoint a moment in my childhood, my inner childhood, where my little girl felt like she was screaming out and no one was listening. And so then I soothed her and I cried and I gave her love and I gave myself a big hug and Trent came downstairs and he gave me a hug and I cried again and I moved the energy through my body. And then I said to him, catch me when I'm on my phone today and take it out of my hands if you need. I don't want to get bogged down in this thread anymore. And he did. And now I feel I also cleared myself to the post, which again, if you don't know self-clearing, you can go and see a kinesiologist who can do this for you. But I cleared myself to the thread and I moved the energy through and I don't feel charged around it anymore. Am I still pissed off? Yeah. But I'm not in a way where I want to fight anyone, not in a way where I am like infuriated and filled with rage. Like it doesn't feel like heat in my body. If I gave it thought and if I gave it time and energy, then yeah, it would work me up and it would frustrate me more than anything. But I'm also not finding myself jumping on the thread and giving it any time or energy because I move the charge through. Do we see that? These are the processes that we're being invited to look at. Because it's not that the anger won't be there or the charge won't be there or the trigger won't be there, but it's what we do with it. And then, oh my God. So that was all yesterday, right? I'm recording this on Monday. So that was all on Sunday. And I went and actually last minute booked myself into a tea, did a 90-minute sit and moved all of it through. It's like self-nurturance, self-care, giving love back to me, sitting with what was moving through me. I knew what levers to pull and I knew I had to pull them if I wanted to have a nice, fresh week. Yeah. And then I woke up this morning and my friend Veronica, hey gal, sent me a photo of me and my sister on the red carpet on this page called Fashion Critical. Oh my God. It's literally, I actually used to love these pages back when I was in uni. There was an account called Trash to Fash and they it was satire. Basically, it was fashion satire, like talking smack about what people wore on the red carpet. I haven't read or invested in any of that in the last 15 years because it's not my vibe at all. But this Fashion Critical page looks at and analyzes people's style the world over. They literally did one on like Cannes. They did one recently on the Met Gala and they've done the red carpet at Beauty and the Beast. Oh my God, guys. And they haven't pulled everyone's photo. They've pulled like 20 and a photo of me and my sister are on this Fashion Critical post on Facebook. And it is comment after comment of people ripping in to me mainly about the fact that I have no pedicure and my toes look dirty, and they do. It's actually hot. It's hectic. It's actually fucking hectic. It's actually the truth. Like, who has time to get a pedicure when you're the mother of a toddler and you are barefoot and you earth yourself in the dirt every day? I literally was in Sydney for less than 24 hours. Like, I get it. My feet were a bit dirty. Oh my God. Someone zoomed in and screenshotted the photo of my shoes. Also people ripping into my shoes. Like, what are these? Someone said, I've seen smaller platforms in a train station. Oh my God. But it was like hardcore people ripping in this time, not about a deeply traumatic personal experience, this time about what I was wearing. Now, for me personally, less impactful. Again, I've done the work, especially when I first stepped back into modeling a few years ago. I was like, this sort of thing would derail me in the past. It honestly, this only happened a few hours ago. And I think it's funny because I said to my sister, oh my God, my toes, like I have not had a pedicure. And she's like, yeah, look, no one's going to look at them. Yeah, look, it's come. And then they were being mean about my sister too, which I will not stand for ever, because I am a protective mother bear energy. Bear is one of my animal archetypes. If you know, you know. And so there were also lovely comments. And I got to say, I'll tell you what I did, by the way. You can tell me what you think about it. But before that, I was reading the comments this morning and I was genuinely laughing. I'm like, oh God, we're getting ripped here. Like, this is hardcore. Like, it's got a big following, this platform. It's like people literally judging people on red carpets and what they're wearing. Lots of people writing, I don't even know who these two people are. Hope they don't influence fashion. Ha ha. And it's like, yeah, I definitely don't. Like, leave me alone. Like, it was bullying. It was definitely bullying. And this is that bullying archetype, right? But in the past, I have had multiple occasions where I've been trolled once or twice on a post. The biggest experience that comes to mind is when I was at uni, I won a competition with Clinique, the makeup brand, and I was one of their it girls for the year. And what that meant was they sent me product. I reviewed it. I was the red carpet host at Clio Bachelor of the Year. It's actually how I got my internship at Clio Magazine for 2 years through winning that Clinique It Girl competition. And part of it was a YouTube video encouraging people to be the next It Girl. And when I recorded this video for them, I didn't realize it was going to be on the YouTube Australia homepage. So when anyone clicked onto YouTube Australia for a period of time, it was video of me through Clinique and they didn't disable the comments. And that was my first experience of hardcore trolling. I would have been maybe 19. And I remember sitting up in my bed crying my eyes out because of the comments that were coming through. A lot of men making comments about how, I don't even want to dive into it, but really awful, sexually explicit comments about me. And a lot of women saying how ugly I was. Someone said I looked like a witch. Like, I still remember word for word some of these comments. And this was, you know, 12, 13 years ago. And I bawled. I was so distressed by this experience, as any 19-year-old girl would be. You know, this was before Instagram even existed. I think Facebook only just came out. Like, this was where people were spending their time. And it was hundreds of comments of people attacking what I looked like. Now, I have had to go through years and years and years of recalibration and safety in my nervous system around fear of judgment around what I look like. Because of that experience and many other experiences I've had, I am a bigger buster woman. And just by virtue of that means, for some reason, I am a target for criticism around what I wear, even from family members. It's been my experience my entire life. My body has been, and what I wear has been open for criticism since I was probably developing breasts at 11 years old. So this is nothing new to me, but what is new to me is the fact that I no longer placate a bully archetype. So I read all those comments this morning. I didn't even feel sick in the pit of my stomach. I genuinely laughed. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cringe. This is so hectic. And then I started reading some of the comments. I'm like, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to actually take a stand to the bullying archetype. I could let it all go. I could just let people speak shit about what I look like. But do I want to move differently? Do I actually want to almost, yes, stand up for myself, and in standing up for myself, tell myself that I've got my back, and tell that little 18-year-old or 19-year-old version of me, don't worry, I got you. I got you. And I'm not going to let people talk like this about you. And so that's what I did. I went on the post and I left a comment and I said, this is hilarious. Just so you guys know, I'm a new mum. Pedicures are the bottom of my list. It's a miracle I even got out of the house, but I see where you're coming from. Definitely noted. And also, what else did I say? I'm not a fashion influencer, whatever. And got much beautiful engagement. And then I went on and I was like, you know what? Some of the, and this is on Facebook. Facebook's a whole other ball game. Some of these women, all women, commenting awful about me, their photos, their DPs, like their display pics, are photos of their little girls, their children. These are mothers. And this is what I experienced actually last week as well. It's so my Chiron in Cancer, isn't it? Do we see it, the connection, the mother wound? It was all mothers who were shaming other mothers in the Boob to Food post. And now it's mothers who are trolling photos of people on the internet they don't know and being mean. And it's just like, oh, no. I'm not actually going to sit back and allow that when it's a conversation about me. But I can do it in a way that's still really grounded and not wanting to start a fight, but also putting them in their place. And so this is what I wrote for a few of them. I'm going to share. One woman wrote, the footwear on both these lasses is a crime against humanity. I don't know what they influence, but can only hope it isn't fashion. And I wrote, I'm definitely not a fashion influencer, don't worry. And the salute emoji. I'm getting into pettiness. I am going to be a bit petty here. But you know what? I feel like over the last 8 days, I've earned the right to stand up for myself in the way that I choose. Okay, the next one. So which is the beauty and which is the beast? This is a woman named Trish, whose profile photo is her little girl who looks about 3 years old and her little boy who looks about 4 years old. She is a mother. And she literally commented on a photo of me and my sister saying, which is the beauty and which is the beast? To which I replied and said, that's a bit mean. I'll keep posted if she says anything in return, but they won't because they're all scared. Some other chick whose DP is a photo of her pool. Lady in pink, do your toes. To which I said, gal, go easy. I'm a new mum. It's a miracle I made it out of the house for a night fully dressed. Laughing emoji. And then this is my favourite. To Joanne, who the hell are they influencing and what about? I'm very concerned. And then like a grumpy face. And I replied, my focus is mainly self-love, female empowerment, and women supporting women. Mic drop times 10. I'm very proud of myself with those. It's why I've shared them. But this is what I mean. We are going to see much more of this. And in fact, I don't know how many of you follow House in Habit, but I highly recommend her as a follow. Oh my God. Like, just follow her. And we can talk about her another time. But she has spoken to the immense, she gets absolutely trolled on another level. Like, I'm talking death threat stuff, because she's not agreeing with, you know, public opinion. And so people come and attack her. And she started saying, look, I'm just going to start sharing who's doing this, because these are actually mothers. These are actually people who, you know, you pass in day-to-day life and don't realize, and they go home and they actually bully. And it's a bully archetype. And this is the archetype that is going to come crashing down in the next 18 months, which is amazing. Not so much if you're a bully. And I'd like to think that the listeners of this podcast are not in any way, shape or form bullying anyone, narcissistic in any way, abusing in any way, or trolling and keyboard warrioring. I hope not in any way, shape or form. But if you are, stop. Because, you know, karma's going to get you anyway. So you might as well just rein it in. But I have done a big energetic release on the bully archetype when this friendship dissipated last year. And I really had to get out of the drama triangle. And I spoke about this in the last coherence ceremony, actually, and it makes sense now why that came through. Because when we have, when we're in the drama triangle, or when, you know, we're in an exchange with a bully, for instance, it's, you know, there'll always be a persecutor, a victim, and a rescuer. In fact, I'm probably in the drama triangle right now. This is a prime example, and I'm happy to fall on my sword, because the trolls are the persecutor, I'm the victim, and you guys listening to me are rescuing. So, you know, but I'm not actually asking you guys to rescue me. So it's probably like a faint hint of drama triangle in this episode today. But I did take matters into my own hands. So if you'd ask me, okay, Holly, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, no, I've already done it. I've already done it. I stood up for myself, you know? So this is where the bully archetype is going to fall through. And what we need to do to transmute any bullying archetype that's playing out in our life is do things differently. And that's where the Libra South Node comes in. No longer people pleasing and actually taking a stand, standing up for yourself in whatever way feels true for you. Like, I feel very comfortable with those comments. I don't feel like bad about those at all. For someone else, that might have felt too stretchy, you're too uncomfortable. That's fine. I'm also not going to get bogged down in the feed. I'll go through another process today that will disconnect me from that thread, because it's only going to get more intense, I reckon. And this is also what I've asked for, right? We look at our wants and needs and desires. Part of what I have asked for is more of a mainstream persona, more of a mainstream recognition piece. And I've got to take the highs, and it's the polarity. This is a beautiful example of a polarity thread, right? So that has been my last 8 days. I don't know if by the time you're listening to this, more will have unfolded. I hope not. I hope it's a gentle week. We'll see. But I really just wanted to show that as, yeah, a little insight into what I've been navigating the last 8 days and counting, and also how this nodal axis shift is going to probably play out in our lives in some way, shape or form. And as I said, for you, you might not have a public platform. You might not have trolls reaching you. It could be like real life gremlins, you know? So this is just about us acknowledging where we can take a stand. And the way that I look at it is, how can we back what our little girl needs, our inner child? What does she need from you? Because if you're doing that, you're doing a phenomenal job. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Have a beautiful weekend, and I'll chat to you next week.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.